Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift. Good to be back. Took a couple of weeks off, maybe 3 weeks off, I think. Pastor Rick, thank you so much for filling in for me. I was not on assignment. Thank you for covering for me. I was visiting my mom and dad down in Florida. So I want to say thanks to mom and dad for hosting me for a couple of weeks down there, and my sister down there as well, and my brother was down there, so we had a nice little family get-together for 2 weeks. So, a little time off. Well-deserved. I needed it. I really did. So, we've got a guest in studio today. Steve Williams is going to be running for re-election, Livingston County Commissioner, and that district is 6, District 6. Steve, welcome to the show.
Oh, Gary, it's great to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
I'm glad you could make it in. It's always easier to have somebody in the studio to chit-chat with, so we're glad to have you aboard. Now, your precincts are Marion Township, Putnam Township, precincts 2, 3, and 4 of Hamburg Township, and precinct 3, right? And then Village of Pinckney?
Right. It's a little different. Precinct 4 of Hamburg, and then most of Putnam Township, the Village of Pinckney, and the entirety of Marion Township.
Good. So. Well, and that's all areas that we cover in the Current. So that's how you and I met, through the Current. So
absolutely.
Great to have you aboard. We're going to talk about some issues that are going on in Livingston County, and then we'll get on and talk about news of the week as well. So hope you hang out and talk with us about that. Let's take care of a little business first. Our sponsor this half hour is Regency, 734-449-5505. Regency Healthcare in Whitmore Lake. They handle subacute rehab. They have a secure memory unit, a veterans program, 24-hour nursing care, hospice, respite care, the whole nine yards. 734-449-5505. They're right down the street from my house, and they're a really wonderful establishment. They put a lot of money into renovating, so it's a great place. You can also catch them online at www.CIENAHealthcare.com. So 734-449-5505. That's Regency of Whitmore Lake. Check them out if you need some help in some fashion or another. Okay, so what we do on the Daily Drift is, or the Drift, is go over the stuff I put on the Daily Drift. But today we're going to start out with a little local action. So, Steve, you're running a re-election. How many terms have you served now on the Livingston County Commission?
I'm in my 12th year, so wow. I've had 6 terms I've served the residents of Livingston County.
Time flies, doesn't it?
It does. It is amazing. But, of course, before that, I served the United States in the Army for 28 years, and I would never have believed I'd be in there that long as well. So 12 years went by very quickly also.
Okay. Well, thank you for your service. It's always nice to see. I wish we had more military guys running in the upper echelons of government as well. You know, it's been a while since we've had, Eisenhower was our last military
president.
Right. So,
Bush, but Bill Clinton was the first that didn't serve.
Yeah.
So that's the part that bothers me the most. I think perhaps the tide is turning. I think people have become more engaged. You look in Congress, and we had a decline for so many years of members with military service, but I think that's starting to pick up a bit. A couple of those are even Democrats, which is inexplicable to me how anybody with military experience could be a Democrat. But either way, it's still good, because the way I look at it, people can talk a good game about military service or what they think, but it's kind of like childbirth. You know, I was there for the birth of my 3 kids, but I would never pretend to assume I know what it's like to be pregnant and give birth.
Right.
If you've never served in the military,
you don't know. Yeah.
You can be a family member, you can be a strong supporter, and all those are very valuable, but it's still not the same as serving in uniform. So I have been heartened to see more people with military service, some of those Gulf War and post 9/11 vets that are getting more politically active and bringing that service in, especially at the national level, because really that's the primary, in my view, that's the primary responsibility of the federal government is national defense.
Yep.
So I want to have a commander in chief on down that has had that experience.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I was kind of amazed that General Flynn now, who was a Democrat, right? Was supporting Donald Trump, and they even talked about, oh, he might be the VP. Well, he wasn't, but I'm assuming he's going to be somewhere in that cabinet when that happens. So, who knows? Maybe we're going to end up with some real military guys.
Well, and it will be. It would be good. It'd be very good. There are a variety of positions there that would benefit from that military experience. A lot of times folks that haven't served don't really understand about the parallels between military service and what goes on in the rest of the civilian world.
Yeah.
And all those leadership skills and management skills and budgeting, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, really, when you look at, you talk about chief executive experience for president, that's what a commander is. When you have a unit commander, they're responsible for personnel, for logistics, for training, for operations, for discipline, for time management, for counseling, that whole variety of different responsibilities of a unit. And so that's a chief executive responsibility in itself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's my one regret is I went into college and I was thinking about doing military and I didn't, and I've regretted it every day of my life. You know, by the time I was thinking about really getting back into it, I was too old.
And you know what? You're not alone. And there, after post 9/11, I had folks that were going in late 30s and 40s, and this was their opportunity, and they made a lifestyle change. And a lot of them went in the reserve component, but then we've relied so heavily on the reserve component after 9/11. That they knew they were putting their lives at risk the same as anybody else. They were disrupting their lives. And a lot of folks can't serve. And I spoke at a funeral just this week for the long-term County Commissioner Jack LaBelle. He served 44 years. And he's the longest-serving County Commissioner in Michigan history.
Really?
He was at Michigan State and had an ROTC scholarship. And he went and signed up for the Korean War. And yet he lost his scholarship because he enlisted, and then they tossed him out because he didn't have good enough eyesight in one eye. And so he never served. But you know what? He was a staunch supporter of the military. I would never not give credit to somebody who supports the military just because they haven't served. My point is that you gain that additional experience that is impossible to get in some other way.
Right. Yeah, it's
so
amazing.
So it's not disparaging people that haven't served. A lot of great folks out there. But in terms of leadership, I wouldn't make a prerequisite for the president to have served, but I would really like that. I think it's really, really important. One of the primary functions, commander-in-chief, I think you see the difference when you have a President Clinton or a President Obama versus the Presidents Bush or Reagan or you know, their predecessors.
I mean, definitely.
John Kennedy served on active duty during World War II. So, I mean, that it makes a difference.
Yep. Well, let's talk about Livingston County for a minute, because I always tell people Livingston County is the most conservative county in the entire state. I don't know if that's true or not, but it sure seems like it. Do you know off the top of your head if it is?
Depends on how you measure conservatism, but it's going to be up there, because in terms of elected officials, we only have three that are named Democrats, the supervisor or one of the officials in Unadilla Township and two trustees in Howell Township.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, of course, the township and or the village and city positions are nonpartisan, and school board positions are nonpartisan. But in terms of partisan elected positions, we only have three of all the townships and the county positions and the countywide positions.
And that's astounding, because just a short way down the road here, we're in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, which is about as Democrat or socialist even as you can get. So it's pretty amazing that Livingston County is so staunchly conservative. So that's good. Now,
What's good is that when we have somebody who moves up from Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County, maybe a conservative who comes to our county and then goes to the county GOP meeting and says, it's so nice to be in a place where my voice is heard.
Yeah.
And so understand that also, even though we have such a high proportion of Republicans and it's a very conservative county, whenever I get a constituent call, and I'd say the same is true of my other commissioners, you never ask, are you a Republican or Democrat? Did you vote for me?
Right.
You know, we barely ask if they're in our district. This is not like, you know, Chicago ward politics or Detroit politics. This is constituent service. And even though we are conservative, we are Republicans, we represent everybody.
Yeah.
And we do the best that we can. We make the best decisions that we can. It's just that we represent a community with an overall conservative viewpoint and voting record.
Okay. So what do you think is the hottest issue for Livingston County this year coming up? Because it's an election year, what are the hot items that really make a difference, do you think, this time around?
Public safety is always an item, and of course, because we have a contested race in the prosecutor's office. Roads. As county commissioners, we get more calls about roads than anything else. But then the calls we get about things involving the court system tend to be more passionate than anything else. So as county commissioners, we're responsible for funding. We are the legislative branch of county government, but we don't really pass a lot of laws or ordinances. We don't pass laws at all. The ordinance, the one that we have on the books, is the loose dog ordinance. You know, townships, cities, villages pass far more ordinances. We're responsible for budgeting. We have a $75 million budget, general fund budget in rough terms, and we are still climbing back from the hole that county governments went into and other governments during the Great Recession. And what we're most proud of is the fact that we still have the lowest county tax rate in the state, and yet we're one of only five counties with a AAA bond rating.
Right.
So, and we're by far the smallest with a AAA bond rating. The others are Macomb, Oakland, Ottawa, and Kent. So we're kind of the little brother. So that combination of low taxes, but you have very, very strong fiscal responsibility.
Yep.
That's it. For us, I mean, that's our focus. We have 24 different departments. We spend most heavily on public safety. 63% of the general fund budget goes to public safety. 38% of the general fund budget goes to the sheriff's department alone. And so that is our number one priority, but it's not our only priority. And so it's always a balancing act. You know, our budget is still this year, this fiscal year, 17% below our pre-recession peak. And yet we have more residents than we did back in 2007.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we work together. We work cooperatively. We work regionally. Our mental health regional conglomeration is with Washtenaw County, ironically. And then our support to help economically disadvantaged people is also Oakland Livingston Human Service Agency.
Yep.
We work with that group. We're part of the Huron-Clinton Metro Park. So we leverage that because we don't have a big, expensive countywide park system, but we want to make sure we have facilities for our folks. And we're part of the Southeastern Michigan Council of Governments. So, you know, it's those are our challenges. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it sounds a little mundane, but really everybody pays taxes, and we want to do the best we can with those tax dollars.
Yeah, I live right on the county line. I'm still on the Washtenaw side, and our taxes on the south side of Whitmore Lake are far higher than Green Oak, which is the north side of the lake, and that's across the county line there. So if I could get into Green Oak or Livingston County, I would, but at this point I'm kind of stuck in Washtenaw, so it's nice to be able to think about moving to Livingston. That's where I'd really would like to be. But that'd be
well. You're welcome. I can connect you with. As a matter of fact, our current board of commissioners vice chair, Carol Griffith, is a realtor.
Oh, yeah. There
she was chair for 3 years. I served as her vice chair for 3 years up until this current year. So it's interesting because she can bring that perspective into our meetings and give us ideas about indications and trends. Because, you know, the majority, 63% of the county budget comes from property taxes. So even though we have the lowest rate, that's where the majority of our income comes from. And it's been great having a variety of folks. You know, when the Democrats criticize us for not having diversity, we have diversity. It's just not diversity of party. We have diversity of backgrounds, and we have right. women and men serving, et cetera, a variety of ages, variety of backgrounds. And so when you're ready to move to Livingston County, I know just a person to connect
Good.
You with.
Good. That's great to know. What I always laugh when I hear people talking about the Democrat Party in Livingston County, because I get, being in the newspaper business, I get a lot of information coming from them. And I'm always thinking, why would you want to change? I mean, things run pretty doggone well in Livingston County. When you compare it to some of the other counties around the state, you guys are right on top. So you guys are doing a fantastic job up there. So it's amazing when you get someone like Melissa Gilbert from Hollywood moves into the town and thinks she's going to run for Congress and everything else. Thankfully, she's not running, because I was a little worried that people would be dumb enough to vote just for the name. You know what I mean? So that's always a spooky thing. But have you talked with Mike Bishop at all?
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Sure. No, absolutely. Because, okay. I mean, I used to talk with Mike Rogers frequently, and, of course, he was a service member. And when I talked about support to service members at the federal level, Mike Bishop, who didn't serve, actually has helped carry that on.
Good.
So, yeah, I talked to him, and I encourage him. I mean, really, I already have a job and a half. And Livingston County commissioners is a part-time job.
Right.
So I have full-time employment. I have the commission job, and I have a small farm. So you know what? I stay busy.
Yes, you're kind of like me. So you were I looked you up on LinkedIn, and you're metrology, right? Is that what I saw?
I work for Zeiss Industrial Metrology, okay. Exactly. Yeah. It's the science of exacting measurement, and they work a lot with manufacturers. You know, automotive, General Motors is our largest customer in North America, followed by Ford. You also have Chrysler, John Deere, Caterpillar, but then a lot of, say, medical manufacturers and other very precision folks. So I'm happy. I live and work in Livingston County. I've worked all over Southeast Michigan, and after 9/11, I worked in the state Senate. When I came back from my overseas deployment, I worked up in Lansing for a year. Then I went back on voluntary active duty, and I drove from Howell to Mount Clemens for 8 years.
Wow.
Except during deployments I had during that time. So I'm happy to be living and working in Livingston County. And
right.
It's a good place.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we're going to take a break, Derek. And when we come back, if anyone's got phone calls or questions, they can call into the show, 734-822-1600. And you can talk to Steve Williams, Livingston County Commission. We'll see you on the other side.
Hi, I'm Don Haig, co-owner of the Firing Line Gun Range and Gun Shop, located at 33,000 Ford Road, Westland, Michigan. Are you one of our hard, dedicated first responders looking to buy a defensive handgun or tactical rifle? Firing Line has the only first responders discount program in all of southeastern Michigan. We have dedicated contracts with Glock, Smith & Wesson, Sig Sauer, and Remington that will save you money. How would you like to buy a full-size Glock Gen 4 9mm or 40 caliber with three magazines for $399? Who's eligible for these great one-of-a-kind discounts, you ask? First responders are active or retired law enforcement, active or retired firefighters, all active and retired military, active police reserves, EMS personnel, security guards that work for a bonded agency. Stop by the store at 33,000 Ford Road, Westland, or call us at 734-326-7320. That's 734-326-7320. Or visit firinglineguns.com and click on the law enforcement icon.
Created in 1949, Michigan farmers wanted an insurance company that worked as hard as they did. Today, Farm Bureau Insurance works even harder to protect your home and safeguard your loved ones. With agents that live and work right in your community, service is a priority and is always local and always personal. We're here to serve you during life's best moments and when the unexpected happens. Your local Farm Bureau Insurance agent can help meet your unique insurance needs from life, home, auto, farm, business, and retirement. You can count on Farm Bureau Insurance to offer you peace of mind and to help you through the toughest times of your life. Michigan is our home too. Farm Bureau Insurance is the company committed to serving Michigan and only Michigan. We are Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Michigan, my Michigan.
Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Dr. Michael Singleton offers family dentistry you can trust with over 20 years of experience in all areas of dentistry. Multiple ways to enhance your smile, from simple whitening to complete veneers, same-day crowns, laser cavity detection, preventative, restorative, and advanced cosmetic dentistry. It's tomorrow's dentistry today. Open Monday through Saturday at 7 a.m. with late evening hours to fit your schedule. Contact Dr. Michael Singleton at 1081 North Ann Arbor Street in Saline, Michigan, or call 734-429-7415 or visit them on the web at singletonsmiles.com.
Hey, are you looking for a home church or do not have any place physical to worship at right now? Then join Wham every Sunday morning for Wham Weekend Worship. At 9:30, it's the Christian Science Sentinel. At 10 o'clock, it's Bethlehem United Church of Christ in Ann Arbor. And at 11 a.m., it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. And at noon, it's the Intersection with Pastor Sean Todd, a church like no other. And then at 12:30, we wrap it up with the Lutheran Hour. So join us here at Wham Radio or online at whamradio.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch My Drift. Joining me in studio, Steve Williams, Livingston County Commissioner. Steve, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so we were talking about Livingston County and all the good parts of Livingston County. Tell me a little bit about the health, because during the break here, you were mentioning something about the health of Livingston County residents.
Well, sure, and one of the things that doesn't get a lot of attention because it doesn't garner so many headlines is our Department of Public Health and what a great job they do supporting folks. And sometimes it's a little invisible, although they have really upped their presence online recently. They've gotten a new person in, Chelsea Moxell, who's great at putting out Facebook announcements and emails and letting people know what things are available and how they can prepare and how they can adjust to certain environmental conditions and things like, you know, the virus, the West Nile virus, and what's available for services. And one of the things we're especially proud of as Board of Commissioners is that in the annual University of Michigan Health Study, where they rank all 83 counties, Livingston typically tends to be first, second, or third. And again, we don't have a major urban area, so we understand that does help us out. But we're very proud of that, and that is part of what we facilitate. That we don't really employ a lot of doctors, we don't, for instance, control the school environments. However, we work with those folks, and we work with the schools. And one of the things the health department's done is create a reserve corps of medical folks. So if we ever do have a major emergency, these folks are already online, already raise their hand to volunteer to come and react to some kind of a major health emergency. And so, you know, again, it's kind of low-key. It isn't maybe really sexy, but they do a great job. You know, yeah. We have 24 departments all together in county government, and we're there to support our citizens. And the fact that we're deemed the healthiest county in Michigan often, that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. And people don't think about it. You know, you don't think about your county health stuff until maybe an emergency or disaster happens, right? I mean,
sure.
That's the way it is.
Sure.
But you guys have all that stuff in place and ready to go on a moment's notice, right?
Yeah. Yep, and they've been very proactive, and they've had some emergency response exercises, mass casualty type exercises and things. And so, those guys and a lot of the county departments deserve a lot of kudos. The Veterans Department has really stepped up their game in the past couple of years, and they've gotten very proactive. And that's good because we live in a state that no longer has any major military installations, and so you have to depend on yourselves a lot of times. You know, we have a great VA hospital in Ann Arbor and in Detroit, and the state under Governor Snyder has worked to help veterans with employment and with health issues and things. But really, you know, little old Livingston County, we don't have anything right there. So our Veterans Department is where people have to go for help, whether they're applying for benefits or applying for grave markers or looking to see what is available. And those folks, they work pretty tirelessly.
Yeah. We had a guest on the show maybe a month ago now, Joey Eddins, one of my Twitter folks that I converse with. And she's pushing a project called, I think it was G.I. Joey something. And she's working in Pennsylvania with her people and the state Congress in Pennsylvania too. And it's a great program. I'll have to send you the information that she sent me. And it's taking EMTs so that instead of waiting, all these veterans who sometimes have to wait in line and have to have long waiting periods to get into the hospital, the EMTs can go out and do follow-ups and stuff with them after surgeries and things so that they can get help and not have to wait, you know, 90 days to get in to see a doctor, you know. And it's a great program. So I'll send you that information. Maybe you guys can incorporate it there. But it is really a fantastic program.
I would appreciate that.
I think they did something right here in Washtenaw, and I think they're saying they're going to save $50 million over the course of 2 years, which is a lot of money. So,
well, in Livingston County, too, we have consolidated EMS service. We have one ambulance service that serves the entire county. And that was in place even before I became a commissioner. That was one of Commissioner LaBelle's kind of visions. And what they have done is look forward to that as well, where there may be some responses where basically you're not just transporting somebody to the hospital where it's extremely expensive, but you help out if you can on site. In addition, one of the creative things that they did and that takes place in our new public safety complex is one of the challenges for returning vets is oftentimes they have to repeat a lot of the training that they have to be employable. So these folks work with Lansing Community College to come up with a program that allows people to get credit for their medic military experience, and they can become certified and employable that much faster.
Awesome. That's awesome. All right, we're going into a hard break, and we come back. You can stay for the meat of the show. We're going to do a little international politics.
Sure.
All
absolutely.
Right. Awesome. Love to have it. Okay, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Theron Axe, Glenn Beck, Laura Ingram, Jerry Doyle, and Dana Lash. They stay tuned in for Fox News updates, and they'll stick around for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The Democratic presidential ticket makes its debut. Hillary Clinton introducing running mate Tim Kaine to a crowd at a rally in Miami, calling him a progressive who likes to get things done. The Virginia senator coming out swinging against the GOP presidential nominee.
Do you want a you're fired president or a you're hired president?
Calling Trump someone who'll be remembered for
bankrupting companies, shipping jobs overseas, stiffing contractors.
Trump calling the vice presidential pick corrupt Kaine.
Trump still tweets, quote, is this the same Kaine that took hundreds of thousands of dollars in gifts while governor of Virginia and didn't get indicted while Bob M. did?
Fox's Peter Ducey. And mourners gathering in Baton Rouge to pay respects to Brad Garofalo, one of three officers killed in an ambush-style attack. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Personalized Nursing Lighthouse, a premier provider of behavioral health care since 1990, is pleased to announce the grand opening of its gender-specific men's detox and residential programs located in Canton. These new programs provide medical and therapeutic addiction treatment services while integrating education about and therapy for trauma. The Lighthouse's detox and residential programs are among the very few, if not the only, gender-specific trauma-informed addiction treatment services offered in western Wayne County. With the opening of these new programs, the Lighthouse has the full continuum for addiction treatment for both men and women. For more information, call them at 800-467-7654 or visit the Lighthouse's website at pnlh.org. Teens Using Drugs, What to Know and What to Do is a free ongoing two-part series. Part one provides information on how to recognize and understand adolescent substance abuse. Part two provides information on what should and should not be done to help when a teen's substance abuse problem is recognized, and concludes with a short talk by a young person in recovery. All presentations are free and open to the public. To learn more, call 734-973-7892 or visit teensusingdrugs.org. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com. Or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to catch my drift, our drift today. We got Steve Williams, Livingston County Commissioner, hanging out with us today. And we talked a little bit about local politics, and now we're going to kind of get into some international stuff and get your take on that. Let's take care of a sponsor this half hour, Burroughs Roadhouse. If you haven't been to Burroughs Roadhouse, make sure you get in there. It's out in Genoa Township. I like to call it West Brighton. 810-227-6000. They've got a lot of great coupons in the current. Go to thecurrentonline.com. Download it if you haven't gotten it. And just print off the coupons and use them. They have great bands for July, August, and September outside. and some great specials for dinners and lunches. So make sure you get out for a lunch special, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., $5 for a prime Angus burger, which is just a winner. And the steaks are great out there. So make sure you get out, 5311 Brighton Road, and that's 810-227-6000, open daily till 11 a.m. Open daily at 11 a.m. Okay, I can need to get my eyes checked a little bit.
You know, I like the food out there, too.
It's a great
facility, and it's a great outdoor aspect as well. And
I like the atmosphere there, and it took me a while. And finally, looking at the pictures on the wall, someone gave me the history that Burroughs, it was like a camp for the Burroughs Corporation.
Family camp, where they have the cabins and things, and that was the kind of the main house, the main facility. But then everybody was out there, and we had friends back in the day who had a place out there.
Yeah. And I just love the atmosphere. You know, the food is good, the atmosphere, the different rooms, you know, you can get into, and seen comedy out there, and I've seen some good music out there too. So it's a good place.
It's not just one big open room like so many restaurants are today. Yep. It's kind of broken up. It's a nice place to take groups. You can even rent out the second floor and host an event there, like a wedding rehearsal reception or something like that.
Yeah, one of the unique attractions in Livingston County. So come on out and check them out. All right, so we had some news. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the German guy that killed the 9 people in Munich yesterday. Another tragedy, oddly enough. And Germany is one of those countries that has very strict gun laws. And how this young gentleman, now they're saying there's no ISIS connection, no terrorist connection. And but I don't know that we can say that yet. You know what I mean? It just bothers me a little bit that they're so quick to say, no, there's no terrorist connection. He's an Iranian descent, but born in Germany. And there was a lady in the McDonald's restaurant who thought she heard him say Allahu Akbar when she came out. So whether it's a lone wolf, whether he's a sick guy with mental brain damage, whatever, the fact for me is he managed to get a gun. So once again, in a country that has very strict gun laws, here's a criminal. A sick person, maybe, or a terrorist, whatever it is, he still managed to get a gun in a country where gun laws are not, you know, you're not supposed to get them, which is just crazy to me. When you see that happen here, and Barack Obama likes to blame guns for everything, doesn't want to say it's a terrorist, doesn't want to say it's this, he just wants to blame the guns. Livingston County, you guys have great gun laws in most of Livingston County, right?
Well, remember, the gun laws are set by the state. But yeah, it's a very welcoming area, and you know, we have a high percentage of gun ownership, and we were one of the counties that when we went from the May issue to the shall issue, we didn't have issues with that. The county prosecutor at the time disagreed, but he handed his seat over on the county gun board to someone else. We appointed someone else, and it was fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've lived in Germany and England and Eastern Europe, and, yeah, the gun laws are very restrictive. They're the purview of the police and the military, and they make sure that American service members know that. You know, in England, you have absolutely no ownership of handguns, and if anybody has a long gun for skeet shooting or something, they basically keep it at the club. They don't even try and take it home, and if you have residents who have their own weapons, while they have to open their homes for inspection. And so, yeah, it's all very tight, but it just points out the fact that this idea that somehow if you took guns away from everybody, we'd be safe is very impractical.
Yeah.
And in the United States, we can't even keep our borders secure from illegal immigrants. And, you know, when humans come in, I mean, they need air, oxygen, water, place to defecate. Well, a gun doesn't need any of that. And you can't even sniff them out with drug dogs like you can drugs. So if we can't keep out illegal immigrants and illegal drugs, how would we ever stop the importation by criminals of weapons?
Right. Yeah, well said. Well said. It just bothers me that people think just removing the guns, and I don't know, they want to make the big scary AR-15, the black assault rifle. You know, it's not an assault rifle. It's just a rifle. It's no different. You know, you put your magazine into it, and it's semi-automatic. It's not a machine gun, you know. So it's just part of that. I always want to blame the Democrats, but it's the progressives on either side that want to kind of control us more. And it's, for me, the Second Amendment is probably the most important amendment because it protects everything else, you know. And when I see a Hillary Clinton and a Tim Kaine who want to eliminate the Second Amendment, because I have no doubt in my mind that if we have a Hillary Clinton as a president, number one, she'll have her four, and then she'll have another four. And what will happen when she appoints, you know, a Supreme Court justice that's anti-gun to replace Scalia? Well, now it's over with. You can take whatever gun laws we got, they're going to go to the Supreme Court, and they're going to get overturned. So you can kiss the Second Amendment goodbye, I think, if Hillary Clinton becomes the president of the United States. I can't imagine why anybody would think twice about voting for her, if you're, unless you're one of those crazy people who believe that guns kill people themselves, you know?
Well, the thing is, in my opinion, I think that we tend to look for the short answer too quickly, mm-hmm. just as you described what happened in Munich. Everybody wants to know, was it a terrorist, was it not a terrorist, this or that. The investigation is going to take time, and you know, it requires a lot of resources, but we want our answers quickly, and we want a way to stop the madness. And yet, it's just not going to be that easy.
Yeah, it's that immediate. If they want the immediate gratification. Oh, sure. We're going to fix this right now. And that's what people think about government all the time. They have all the answers. No, they don't have all the answers. You know, just putting a new law on the books doesn't always solve a problem, does it?
Absolutely, absolutely right. And the fact is, it is so easy to impose on someone else if it doesn't affect you.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But that's not the right way to go.
Yeah. Well, Hillary Clinton yesterday picked Tim Kaine, who's ex-governor of Virginia and now senator for Virginia. And for me, the first thought, I kind of knew that he was going to be the pick, because I think it's her way of buying off Virginia. She thinks that she'll win Virginia if she picks Tim Kaine. And people may or may not know who Tim Kaine is. Derek, we have track one ready. Do we have that? This is actually from a foreign website, so you can. It's an English website, but you'll hear how they kind of want to talk him up as being positive. But listen to how she describes him. Run that track, Derek.
Tim Kaine is in many ways a perfect vice presidential pick for Hillary Clinton. In Washington, people look at Kaine, who's the senator from Virginia, and they see a bland, less than charismatic figure. But at heart, Kaine is really a passionate social justice liberal with a very moderate demeanor.
I'll bring more partnership and less partisanship to Washington.
He's a deeply Christian man. He's driven by his Catholic faith and Jesuit ideals. He's a Harvard-educated lawyer whose path to public service came through representing death row inmates and victims of housing discrimination in racially divided Richmond.
All right, so right off, the key words for me were social justice, Harvard lawyer. You know, that tells you all you need to know about Herman Kaine. He's a redistributionist. This guy's going to go in and tote the party line with the Democrats to redistribute money, buy more votes, do whatever he has to. For me, the pick, it is perfect for Hillary, because that's everything she wants. Now, but the fact that he's a political insider is, I think, what's going to probably give the Democratic convention some real problems this week. Now, we saw a GOP convention this week that went stellar. I mean, there were some flag burnings and stuff that got squashed very quickly. You got to give the police credit in Cleveland, man. They did a great job. And all those departments from all over the country that sent officers there to help out, great job. The police did a fantastic job. And thank the people of Cleveland, I guess, for not allowing this crazy protesting to go on. But I don't know that that's going to be the same for the Philadelphia convention. Have you thought about that at all?
I still think the Bernie supporters are very upset. Mm-hmm. I still think they figure the fix is in. They're not being listened to. They're being taken advantage of, which I think the Democratic Party does. I mean, Republicans have done that sometimes too, but I think the Democrats are far more guilty of just assuming that they will get whatever, the woman vote, the minority vote.
Yep.
And so there are some folks that don't see what they would consider progress. So sure, I think so.
Yeah, I'm going to expect that, you know, I hope the Philadelphia Police Department is well prepared, you know, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I don't want to see mass, but I think it's going to happen. I think you're right. I think the Bernie people they want to change. It's funny how on the Republican side and on the Democratic side, people want change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the system is rigged, and it is. I think the Republican system was rigged too, but I think Donald Trump managed to push past that with just his personality, you know, if nothing else. He knew how to promote the media and get things going. But I think that same feeling is on the Democrat side, but it's rigged and it's out of control. There was WikiLeaks. If you go to the Daily Drift, and if you haven't been going to the Daily Drift, do so, www.thedailydrift.com. I've got stories about the WikiLeaks that came up. And the WikiLeaks released thousands of Democratic National Committee emails from Debbie Wasserman Schultz, from Hillary Clinton, and it shows how Debbie Wasserman Schultz was doing everything in her power to keep Bernie Sanders out. And if you're a Bernie Sanders supporter, I don't claim to understand why you would be, but if you are a Bernie Sanders supporter, yes, you should be very, very angry, because you know what? He had a pretty good shot, I think, of being president of the nominee for the Democrat National Committee if things had not been rigged against him, because he was doing pretty well. Now, people are excited for Bernie. You know, people are excited for Donald Trump, maybe too much so. But for the people for Bernie, they're young. They liked his socialist message. And I think that happens with young kids, especially in college. I don't think you become a conservative until after you've worked for 20 or 30 years and you've seen your paycheck get docked for 30% of your income. At some point, you finally say, man, who's taking all my money? I'd rather have less taxes, you know? Young kids coming out of college, they've already gone through their indoctrination with these liberal professors and things. They don't see it because they haven't worked yet. You know, they haven't had any money taken away from them yet. That's the craziest thing. What's your thoughts on Tim Kaine, as the fact that Tim Kaine did the same thing as Bob McDonnell in Virginia? So you remember Bob McDonnell was the Virginia governor who, I think he did a little jail time, didn't he?
He did, but then I believe that they overturned that.
They overturned it. So they put his life through a living hell because he allegedly took gifts, right? And made him guilty. And yet Tim Kaine, come to find out, according to Politico, took over $165,000 in gifts. And that's where we just heard during the break Donald Trump saying, Tim McCain is Corrupt Kane. That's his moniker for him. Derek, you got track two ready here? All right, listen to this. This is about Tim Kaine and the taking of the money as gifts.
Corruption and lying. Republican candidate Donald Trump's campaign alleges that Democratic rival Hillary Clinton has picked a corrupt official as her vice president. The campaign has nicknamed Virginia Senator Tim Kaine Corrupt Kaine, citing a report that he accepted $160,000 in gifts from 2001 to 2009 when he was Virginia's governor.
Okay, so Corrupt Kaine. You got to love how Donald's, you know, that's just his style. Just pick a name and just keep hammering it. And I think that's working for him. Why not? Why stop now?
I don't think we should be surprised, though. I mean, Hillary's looking for somebody who's her ideological mate.
Yeah.
And she has no problem taking money from people.
Yeah.
I mean, really? And her husband had no problem. And of course, you know, they just think of that as one of the benefits of winning.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that they don't have a problem with that. They were looking for a candidate, for a VP candidate that didn't hurt them in different ways, but I don't think they consider it as a negative. It's right. Like, remember, she came from Chicago. It's Chicago politics. You know, those are the benefits of winning.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to get, financial rewards.
Yeah. It's amazing how the Clintons just epitomize corruption and crony capitalism. I mean, they're so tied in with Wall Street and foreign governments and the Clinton Foundation. Now, did you hear a couple of weeks ago, I talked about it, and of course I had it on the Daily Drift, there was a former UN Secretary General who was going to testify against the Clinton Foundation and crushed his own throat, allegedly, like a month ago now. And that was just shortly before he was supposed to testify. So the old Clinton body count, as they say, is still growing even as we speak. And it kind of makes you wonder when James Comey, did you watch the James Comey speech?
I did not.
I for most of that speech, you know, I thought for sure he was going to throw the indictment down. I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually going to happen, because he made the case for it.
Right.
And then at the very end, he said, but we're not going to recommend charges. And I thought, well, he either got bought off or got threatened or both, you know.
I saw the excerpts. I was very disappointed. I was really holding out hope that the FBI would do the right thing.
Yeah, I'm still hoping that some insiders in the FBI, you know, if I were an FBI employee, I'd be outraged. I would just be absolutely outraged. What is the point? You know, what is the absolute point to that?
Yeah, and having worked with classified information for almost three decades, I mean, I know, and everybody else that served that did that understands what would happen to us if we did a fraction of the things that she's acknowledged doing.
Yeah.
Acknowledged. You know, not to mention all the things that she's accused of, but the things that she's said she's done. And, you know, I have friends who say that they've seen those emails and that there would be no question in anyone's mind that they are classified.
Yeah.
And the fact that she just wanted to hide things from public view. And I mean, it is, it's just astounding. It's disheartening. You know, I'm retired from the Army now. However, I still have a lot of friends. I was at a change of command ceremony and a promotion ceremony two weekends ago. And I talked to those folks and I give them all the credit in the world for staying in.
Right.
Serving under an administration that has such a double standard and doesn't seem to value their lives, because that's really what you're doing, is you're putting those lives at risk. The same as the other leakers. You're putting people's lives at risk.
Yeah, I mean, I've had people call me the tinfoil guy, because since the Obama came in 7.5 years ago, and you have those close ties in the military, have you noticed that all these generals and admirals that are kind of being drummed out, you know, for he's got a gambling problem. Oh, he was sexually harassing somebody. There's a lot. Have you noticed? Is that true? Is there a purge going on in the military?
There are a lot of people that think so, and it mirrors what's going on in Turkey.
Yeah.
I mean, this is before the coup. If you know, I have Turkish friends, and they talked about that. And, you know, in the Clinton administration, I was actually working in the Pentagon in 1998, and there was a series of officers, mostly Air Force generals, ironically, because those guys tend to be low-key, but they were using their retirement speeches as a way to criticize the president and say that this whole downsizing of the force was going way, way too far. And suddenly it stopped, because what happened is that the president's office, whoever, went in and said, well, even though you're retired, that does not mean that you can't be affected. That doesn't mean that we can't adjust your retirement pay or whatever, because actually as a military officer, you're not really retired. It's an annuity. That's why they can call people into active duty at will.
Yeah.
And suddenly the criticism stopped.
Yeah. See, and that's just wrong. You know, nothing offends me more than somebody who would, like General Petraeus. As far as I'm concerned, I think he did far less. And there was no intent. You know what I mean? With Hillary, Comey said there was no intent. The heck there wasn't. There was intent. Huma Abedin testified that she said she wanted a private server so people couldn't access her emails. That's all the intent in the world, if you're asking me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's just
absolutely. With what we go through and with the places you work and you know, all the embassies, and I mean, I've dealt with embassies and everything. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows what you have to do to protect your communications, because it's easier than ever for Russia, China, North Korea. I mean, those folks are targeting government entities. And they're targeting the White House, they're targeting the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Pentagon, the Secretary of State. I had people working for me that produced intelligence analysis that ended up going to Hillary's office when she was Secretary of State. I've often wondered about that now. Is that out there? Are there names out there? Is that information in somebody else's hands, along with how we got it and what our analysis is, because it wasn't protected in the way it was supposed to be?
Yeah. What really scared me was when Comey said it's possible her server was compromised by Russia, Iran, China, but it wouldn't say that. How do they not know? I mean, they had the Guccifer guy, the Romanian hacker, in there who said, I did it, you know, and then they said he retracted his statement. Well, you have to assume, I would think, from a national security standpoint, that they did. And if that's the case, why would you want her to be president? Because if China or Russia or Iran or North Korea have something bad on her, they can bribe the president of the United States to get what they want. Trade deals, what, it doesn't have to be nefariously an attack or anything, but they could get the upper hand in a simple trade deal if they have some bad communiques that they can expose on Hillary Clinton as president.
Absolutely. And when you have to go through the screening process to gain a security clearance in the military, those are the things they're looking for, you know, those four main categories: ideology, money, drugs, and sex. And since the Bill Clinton years, where they essentially implemented the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, and now it's okay to serve openly, what really the investigators are looking for isn't so much is someone gay, but are they secretly gay, and is right. there something that can be used against them to blackmail them? Absolutely. Right. Absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm mystified that any American at this point, knowing that Hillary Clinton did these things, lied about it, but they still support her. It's just mind-boggling to me. I just can't get it. Did you get to watch any of the GOP convention?
Just a little bit.
And I,
just the night that Donald accepted.
It was my secret to watch it every night. You know, I probably shouldn't have, but I stayed up later than I normally would, watched as much of it as I could. And what was pretty amazing to me was the diversity. I mean, they started out with Sheriff Joe Clark. Sheriff David Clark. Not David Joe Arpaio. That's who I was messing up with. Sheriff David Clark, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's a very
Guy from Milwaukee?
From Milwaukee, yes.
Oh, okay, sure.
And, in fact, I had it right here, Sheriff Clark. Anyway, Sheriff Clark. And then they had women, and they had the little, did you see the little blind girl? Oh, you didn't see the opening. The little blind girl with cerebral palsy did the national anthem. And, wow, is all I could say. I mean, this, whether she had cerebral palsy or not, it would have been amazing. She had a really good voice, and they did it. I think they had a number of women. They had some blind people. And you want to talk about inclusivity. Peter Thiel, and I don't think a lot of people know who Peter Thiel is. He's one of the Silicon Valley guys who's big, you know, one of our billionaires on the planet. He started PayPal. Well, he spoke at the RNC and came out as gay and Republican at the Republican National Committee. Derek, you got track three ready there? Let's play. This was pretty amazing. I don't think people give it enough credit, but if you're talking about inclusivity, the Republicans are being as inclusive as it could possibly be. I mean, I know some people don't like that, but it's pretty huge. Go ahead and play that, Derek.
Of course, every American has a unique identity. I am proud to be gay. I am proud to be a Republican, but most of all, I am proud to be an American.
All right, so here's one of the richest guys in the United States. Probably never outed himself before. I mean, why he would choose to do it at the Republican National Convention is pretty amazing, but I'm glad he did. And I know people don't necessarily think of Republicans as being pro-gay or anything, and they're not. But they are being open to the fact that, you know, hey, some people can be Republican even though their lifestyle wouldn't be the normal traditional Republican, you know. When I grew up, my dad always said, you know, I'd ask him, what is a Republican, Dad? And he always said, government, stay out of our business, and low taxes. And at some point, you know, as I went through college, the Republicans started getting into the gay marriage issue, the abortion issue, and all these other things. And I always thought to myself, that's kind of hypocritical, because if you're small government, stay out of our business, and low taxes, why are you getting into telling people whether they cannot have an abortion or whether they could not be married gay or whatever? You know what I mean? It always amazed me, because there was a big shift in the Republican Party from probably the 80s, because I remember Ralph Reed. You know who Ralph Reed is, right? I remember him as a young man. He was the young conservative Christian group, whatever it was,
right,
at the time.
Right.
And for me, that was a big change, and it seems like the Republicans are kind of swinging back to that libertarianism a little bit with this Trump movement that's kind of come in, which I don't think is bad. You know what I mean? All right, so do you have a website for your election or anything?
I have a Facebook page.
Okay.
You know, I've moved beyond the website. I have a Facebook page.
There you go.
So it's Commissioner Steve Williams, or re-elect Commissioner Steve Williams, easy enough to find.
Okay.
And I'd be happy for people to visit it.
Okay, great. Well, Steve, thank you so much for coming in, and we will see everybody next week. Until then, go to thedailydrift.com. Keep news you need to know going. All right, see ya. Bye.